This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Joining me today is Roisin Jacklin from RNIB. We're going to be talking about the publication, the very recent publication, of an interim report into welfare from Sir Stephen Timms, particularly around personal independence payment. Roisin, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Alan.
So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the report itself, give us a little bit of background to this. You know, what was the catalyst for it, and what part has RNIB played in this?
Yeah, it's a great question. People will remember last year we had real difficulties. The government was trying to really tighten the eligibility criteria for personal independence payment, PIP. We did lots of campaigning, partners did lots of campaigning, and thankfully the government U-turned on the decision. And one of the outcomes of this was that they agreed there would be an independent review led by Sir Stephen Timms and a steering group of disabled people looking into the benefit. What is, what isn't working. So it launched last October. I think up to Christmas time, it was largely kind of recruiting and getting members of the steering group. And then up to now, collecting lots of evidence, hearing from people, a call to evidence. And I think they got over 38,000 responses, which I guess tells you just how passionate and important an issue it is. We responded to that as part of the Vision Partnership. And so, yeah, the report we've got today, rather than setting out kind of solutions, what it's doing is just giving a summary of what they've heard up to date of what is and isn't working with PIP.
Yeah, important to mention this is an interim report, if you like, before we get even further into this. So lots of consultation with charities like RNIB and individuals who are connected to personal independence payment in some way as well. A hugely important benefit for people with disabilities. And I think, you know, to clarify as well, this is also an in-work benefit. So it's not just something that people who are not working are entitled to.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we could respond to the call to evidence. We ran a survey and we ran focus groups. So big thanks to anyone who took part in that. But yeah, what we heard kind of loud and clear was just how important PIP is in meeting those really significant extra costs of sight loss.
So you've had a look at the report, Roisin. What things are standing out for you at the moment?
Positively, and as we heard from lots of blind and partially sighted people, there is that recognition of the real importance of PIP. It's described as kind of a vital lifeline for disabled people. So I think it's really good we've got that recognition and how that kind of contributes to people being able to live independently and meet the extra cost of disability. But then on the flip side, there's lots of negativity at the moment in people accessing the benefit. So of the 38,000 people who did respond to the call to evidence, over 90% talked about negative experiences of claiming PIP, and it was just 5% who reported positive experiences. And I think this kind of really chimes with what we're hearing at the moment from blind and partially sighted people. There's lots of language about the process being dehumanising, degrading, stressful, and this is right through from kind of application to assessment and appeals.
Are people then finding it difficult even to apply for PIP in the first place before they even get to the stage where they are assessed?
Yeah, and something we heard a lot kind of when we were running focus groups, there's, if you don't have the support of an organisation like RNOB Citizens Advice, it can be really difficult to kind of navigate and map the questions to kind of how it is to live with sight loss. Yeah, this was another finding from the interim report, overly complex, repetitive, and yeah, just difficult to navigate.
Particularly for people who are blind when they're applying for this as well. It is kind of difficult because it's not just really a certain disability or a sensory impairment, it's how that affects people on a day-to-day basis. And that can be something which is very changeable, whether it's, you know, your own condition or the environments that you happen to be in at the time. So you can understand why the complexity is in there to score these points that you have to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this kind of touches on what we heard from a lot of people, that at the moment they just feel that assessors don't have that understanding of sight loss that they need to really kind of support someone through the process. So one of the things we were really pushing in our call to evidence is we need kind of assessors with that high understanding and that specialist understanding of sight loss.
This is something which seems to crop up again and again. I think even through disability living allowance into personal independence payment, is the fact that when people are being assessed, it's generally perhaps outsourced companies that are doing this. They're not medical specialists or, you know, people with an in-depth knowledge of certain conditions as well. So you're almost trying to defend the disability or the sensory impairment you have and how it affects you, but you're trying to do it to people who perhaps don't understand what it's like to have that particular sensory impairment or disability.
And it's really difficult. And again, we've pitched, we'd love to be kind of involved in the training of assessors if we can, because we've got so much to share, so we can get kind of decision-making right the first time round.
Also, at this point, Roisin, important to point out that in Scotland, it's adult disability payment, not personal independence payment. So this doesn't have any effect there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay, you've highlighted some of the hugely important points, some of these pain points, even if you like, as well. And, that, and you know, this is an interim report. It's looking at the findings and so on so far. What are the next stages? What does RNIB want from this?
We'll continue to push for the review to kind of recommend and come up with solutions that mean the process of applying for PIP, getting PIP, really treats people with dignity and respect. That review is being co-produced with disabled people, so it's really important that kind of the solutions continue to be co-produced, and we and disabled people have an opportunity to kind of feed into those recommendations. Those recommendations really need to make sure that first time round there's accurate decisions and people are getting access to a benefit that they're entitled to. We also want to see kind of fewer unnecessary reassessments. We know at the moment that causes a lot of anxiety for a lot of people with sight loss. Key to getting it right will be that continued engagement with blind and partially sighted people. Our understanding is now, up until the autumn, the review will be looking at the evidence they've collected and using that to kind of come up with solutions and recommendations that then they'll put to the government. So yeah, we'll be looking for opportunities to kind of feed in and make sure we're shaping those recommendations.
An important piece of work, Roisin. We are at the interim stage at the moment, and as you say, you know, we'll be looking at what goes on through the autumn and winter of this year as well. But we will continue to keep up to date with you and let our listeners know what's happening. But for the moment, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.